You should be there.
Yes.
Start talking.
I don't want to point it at my belly button. I just can't see.
Participants. I can't really see you yet.
Is that better?
Okay, that's, see, now I know I'm pointing it. Good, see?
Okay. I wasn't sure.
It's beautiful, absolutely yeah. Beautiful. Yes, strongly recommend it.
We went to
India. Oh, yeah? Which one did you do, Brainerd, Long Lake?
Brainerd, Mitchell Trail.
Oh, yeah, you did the whole Mitchell Trail? That's along the...
And then we didn't get to the Blue Lake or whatever.
Right, that's a schlep. That's how's parking?
Parking was fine.
Yeah?
No problem.
I love that. I love Mitchell. See any moose?
There was one on the... and everybody's saying it's like just a quarter mile to get there. There's nothing there.
Both times we went, we had moose.
Really?
Yeah.
So Mayflower, it's an hour very, and a half. I mean, is an hour and a half.
I was going to say, right. I mean, yours is a better hour and a half because you don't have to come back on I-70. But no, we've done that. It's, Long Lake is amazing. Mitchell, it's Brainerd. It's, yes, no, that's one. Right. Thank God. No complaints. Baruch to you.
Well-delivered and good content. I'm from Maine. I live in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Heard of
my
it.
My father has spoken here and there at Pesach.
I'm from Kew Grand Hills.
Oh, really? Very nice.
Queensboy.
I recognize your face. I don't know if it's from back then. I went to Travis Moshe back then. It was a pet peeve by me also, this people like walking with crutches as a joke and everything. And someone showed me a Mishnah at the end of pay, you'll appreciate it. At the end of pay, it says someone who has a certain amount of money, so he shouldn't take as if he's poor. And then it says, V'chomi she'ino lo chiger v'lo sumo v'lo pisech v'osa atzma kach mehem eino imeis min hazikna ad she'yekachas mehem. It's gonna happen if you practice like that. You know, yeah, that's amazing. So, very nice, very good. I'm happy. Happy I joined in.
Well,
Shachus tomorrow is 6:30.
6:30.
Okay.
So it's 8:30 in New York.
Yeah, I was gonna say. For me, it's still 8:30.
As long as you don't change your clock, it's not a problem. That's what I do. All right. Hello, Patty. Very nice. It was very nice. Okay, are we ready? Marsha, are we ready to start? Okay, you'll tell me when. Okay, everybody in internet land, we're just waiting for Marsha to be ready. Okay, Marsha is now ready, so we can start. Wait, no. It's the same as last week. So if it didn't have last week, it hasn't grown any since then. But, nothing personal. Okay, this is part two of last week because we weren't able to finish. And so let's just bring this up to speed. We were dealing with the question, we had asked the issue that I have free will. And among my free will, the Tosfos had made mention that the proof of what great free will I have is that a person could take their own life if they would, God forbid, want to do that. And in fact, the indication there is that clearly, right, even though God does not want the person to take their own life, still, it works. Based on that, we said, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman pointed out that just like I could kill myself against God's will, it would be logically the equivalent to say that I could kill you against God. Not you. Don't raise your hand. Right? Kill so yes.
If I want to kill myself and yes. I'm able to do that,
yes.
How do we know that isn't that God
put in your mind?
Correct.
Because if that was the case, then suicide should never be usher, because it would have only happened if God caused it to happen.
So why do we think God doesn't cause that?
What? Because we say that it's a terrible thing in a person who commits suicide. We don't bury them in the Jewish cemetery and we don't eulogize them, etc. We see it as a great sin, which would indicate that it came out of the person's free will. right? A person could only be rewarded or punished if it came from their own free will. If a person was forced to do a mitzvah, they should not be rewarded from it. If a person was forced to sin, they should not be punished from it. That's the argument that we are making, right? That being said, we had left off with a series of sources which indicated that no, the only way that I'd be able to hurt another person is only if God willed it, right? We started, the primary source we had was from David HaMelech. When David HaMelech is running away from Avshalom, Shimi ben Gera comes and he heaps upon him rocks and curses. And David's men want to kill Shimi ben Gera for this. And David says, no, that's not appropriate. So the only way that this person could have possibly, you know, done this is if God willed it. So clearly God willed that this person does it to me. And therefore, why are we going to punish him?
So is homicide God's will or not?
So that would seem to be the argument, right? The Sefer HaChinuch said that whenever I cannot be harmed unless this is God's will. Right? If I am deserving of being harmed, then it could happen. And it may happen. I could be harmed through disease, right? Or I could be harmed by an accident. Or I could be harmed by an act of a fellow human being who means me harm. But what? Right. But the idea, right, that would follow in Ochinabi. Those missing the arguments, or suicide. The only way. Right. Then God could kill me. Right. There's many, many, many fine ways that God could put an end to it if he wants to. And it's not just a matter of death. But any harm, if God wants me to break my arm, right? God forbid he can make me fall off a bicycle. He can make something fall down on me, right? Or God could also decide, if he wanted to have some bulvana to come in and break my arm, right? Vito's going to come and break my arm. God will make me borrow money, not pay back on time. Right, that's how it was when I was a little boy in Winnemucca. Right, so... Right, so that is the argument. So again, so this indicates that a person's free will only goes as far as the person. My free will cannot impinge on your life. My free will can only impinge on your life if God wills it as such. That is the opinion clearly of, it sounds like David HaMelech, the Sefer HaChinuch, we said, says this, the Sefer Chassidim says it as well. We start today with number 13 on the sheet. And that is the opinion of the Maharsham. I'm not usually so good with Shlomo's much better with keeping up with the Makaros, so let me just scan them ahead a little bit. The Maharsham, we're going to need a little bit of a background for this. The Maharsham is talking about the case of Katlanis. What is a Katlanis? The rule is as follows. A Katlanis would be translated into English as a black widow. A black widow is a woman who kills off multiple husbands. So in the event that a woman kills off two or three husbands, machokas in the Gemara, what? Correct, meaning that if they die, or if she is released to marriage through their death, right, then she is, after it happens, we paskin, after two of her husbands die, right, then all of a sudden, that's the end of it. She can't get married anymore. That is a halacha. It's in the Gemara. It's in the Shulchan Aruch.
But again, if he gets sick, if he has a heart attack.
So the question, so let's hold that thought for a second. The question is why, right? Why is it? So there are two opinions in the Gemara why a katlanis cannot get married a third time. One opinion is we are concerned that she has some disease that she keeps giving to her husbands that's killing them. That's possibility number one, right? Possibility number two is for whatever reason, God has, this woman is cursed. And therefore, God would like the woman to live in poverty. And back in the day, if a woman wasn't married, she had no way of making a living. She was living in poverty.
Nowadays, poverty, she inherits the husband.
That's a good way to keep out of poverty. It So you can make a fine parnosa this way. A ganz fine parnosa. That's right. Now she's in real estate. So the Gemara talks about, you know, well, if the woman is independently wealthy, let's say, right? If that is the case, then obviously it's not a matter that God wants her to be poor, right? And therefore, if you tell me the reason is she perhaps has a disease that she's killing off people with, okay, then it doesn't matter that she's wealthy. If it's a matter of God wants to, well, clearly if she's wealthy, that can't be the reason. Similarly, let's say her two husbands accidentally fell off a ladder and died. They probably didn't catch that from her.
Right?
So if that was the case, right, if we're concerned about it being some communicable disease, then, of course, this would not be a problem. If it's a matter that God wants her to be poor, then, in fact, it would be a problem. So the Maharsham, or Shalom Shwadron, lived at the beginning of the 1900s, has the following question. Yes?
Before that question, is it true if it goes the other way? A man has a number of wives and they keep dying off. No one questions that.
What?
Does no one question that?
No. Halachically, we don't question it. If I was the district attorney, I might question it. Yeah. But as the rabbi, I don't question it. So the Maharsham says as follows. He had a question of an actual case. Right? Isha almana, the shenishatcha in bachusha kosher limso zivugo. There's this woman who's a widow, and she's getting engaged to a fellow who's been having a hard time to find a shidduch. They're engaged. Everything's set up. They're getting married this coming Saturday night. She already took care of two husbands. They're both 62 when they died. Barach we saw them. Im harishon dora shisha shanim v'yeshra ben imenu umeis b'machas typhus shoy oz mak malachas b'kfar shekabat lo haya bayish lo haya b'meis. The first husband, they had a child together. Unfortunately, he died from typhus, which was a going around at the time. Obal hasheni dora gam kimi imashay shanim. We married 6 years to the second one as well. V'yeshikar gadol. Do I need to translate? No need. He was a drunkard. He was a strong supporter of the Kiddush Club. What? Oh, I don't know why he was drinking.
It's his arm that brings it to his mouth.
Right? And he had cirrhosis of the liver that did him in. His face would have it. It's because of its drinking. And the woman happens to be somewhat wealthy, and the chassin is not. This is a win-win. She has money. He needs money. She's lonely. He can provide companionship. So the question is there a problem with Shia Katlanis? So the answer is easy. If you tell me it's a matter of bad mazel, so it's not bad mazel. She's got the money. If you tell me it's a matter that she has some disease, she didn't give him typhus, and she didn't give him his cirrhosis of the liver. Right? She might have driven him to drink, but that's as we said, that's grumma. That's not direct. So clearly they're allowed to get married. Right? However, in the discussion, he starts discussing, you know, what would count and what would not count. He says, so what if the guy was murdered? What if a woman has a husband who is murdered?
Not at home.
Not by her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I bet
she doesn't even get a second.
I remember as a child, it was a very sad story. Our mailman got murdered. Actual story that some guy was breaking into the house, and he came out, and the guy murdered him and made off with the TV. And we were very close with our, we liked our mailman. Those were different times. We were close to the mailman. So the whole block took up a collection for the almana. And we actually gave her a reasonable amount of money to say, you know, really sorry to hear what happened. We gave it a little early because a week later she was arrested for hiring the guy to kill her husband. And she paid him with a TV, actually. That's actually what happened. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now I have questions about the company you keep.
I mean, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your mailman, as the old saying goes. So in this discussion, he says, what if a person gets murdered? If a Jew murders another Jew, he makes a statement that doesn't count either. Why? Because that was not the will of God. If God wants her to be poor, so God will kill off the husbands. How can he kill off the husbands? He can give him typhus. He can give him cirrhosis of the liver, right? A piano could fall from out of an airplane by accident and land on his head. Right? There's a lot of ways to go.
Didn't murder one of those ways?
No. So he says that when A murders B, that's A's free will. That's not God's involvement. Now, this comment by the Maharsham is the exact opposite of what we've said until now. Right here, in the middle of a tshuva, totally unrelated to anything, he sneaks in this line where he says, by the way, you should know that when you're trying to count how many dead husbands. Earlier this week, there was a chalitza on the East Coast, and I was supposed to be there, but you can't do a chalitza via Zoom. So a chalitza is in the event that a man passes away and leaves a widow, and he did not have a child, so there's a ceremony that's done with the brother of the person who passed away, with a shoe, very good. Right, so it's somewhat rare that it happens, and they had one this week, and I was supposed to be one of the judges on it, but I ended up in the wrong time zone.
But we're okay with the brother marrying in today's age.
So again, a chalitz is you don't get married. A yibum is you do.
Well, that's my question.
Right, so Ashkenazim do not do yibum nowadays.
Oh, okay.
Sfaradim officially do not. Wait a minute, this is a chalitza. This is not a yibum.
Got it.
This was. So they called me afterwards to tell me that, you know, thankfully everything went very smoothly, and they said the woman's about to get remarried. That's why, even though we're in the middle of COVID, there was this push to get it done as soon as possible. So they made a comment that, you know, hopefully third time's a charm for her. Ooh. So I said, what happened to the first two? So one of them was a divorce. So she's still okay. Only one of them, only one case was a widow. What? Well, yeah, there is no. So this comment of the Maharsham that you don't count for katlanis, a husband that was murdered, is a clear statement against the Sefer HaChinuch and against the Sefer Chassidim. Yes. No. But there are earlier sources for this. There are primary sources. The Maharsham, Maharsham, right? A few hundred years later, right? Makes this statement, but it was based on something earlier, something that we should be very familiar with. Take a look at the Alshich. The Alshich is a contemporary of the Mechaber from Tzfat, and he says as follows. He deals with a question that we're all familiar with. The question is that after the brothers decide they're going to kill Yosef, and they say, you know what? My bets are, what are we going to gain from killing the guy? Let's throw him in a pit. I'll throw them in a pit. We'll deal with it. We're all familiar with the story. So the Gemara tells us, and they said, Bor Reik, Ein Bo Mayim. The pit is empty. There's no water in it. So the Gemara says, yeah, if it's empty, there's no water in it. There's no water, and there's no Kool-Aid, and there's no bouncy balls. There's a lot of things not in it if it's empty. So why did you have to tell me that it doesn't have water? It says it doesn't have water, but it had snakes and scorpions. Wait a second. Let's not kill the guy. Instead, we're just thrown into a pit full of snakes and scorpions. Right? That's not a good thing to do. Ah. You know, Alex, you know what it's like? I don't want to hurt you. I just want to eat you. Right, Alex? Right? So, I know my crowd. So Al-Sheikh wants to know, what do you mean they threw him into, they didn't want to kill him, so they threw him into a pit full of snakes and scorpions? That sounds. I wouldn't be selling this guy life insurance at this point. Just. So yeah, but you're killing him. I mean, if you don't, you're saying, if he'd say, let's not get kill him and get caught. Let's do it in a way that we're going to get, right? But you're killing him all the same. So the Al Sheikh makes the following statement. Says, let's compare. When Yosef put Shimon in prison later on, he fed him well. When Shimon put Yosef in the pit, he threw rocks on him. Makes the following statement. He says, in the event that a person gets killed by another person, that does not prove that God wanted the person dead. If a person gets bitten by a snake, that is the will of God. So that's what Reuven said. Reuven said, if we kill him, we didn't prove anything. We didn't prove that he deserves to die.
But if the snake
bites him and he dies, that proves God wanted him dead. He deserves it. Right? So that's the answer. They said, I'm not going to kill him because if I killed him, that proves nothing. Right? Here we're saying that this guy's speaking Lashon Hara, Yosef's a bad guy, he deserves to die. But who are we to decide? If we kill him, we've proved nothing. Put him in with the snakes. That'll prove it. They put him in the snakes. He didn't die. It's okay. Now let's move on. Now we can sell him. Do something else. But this Al-Sheikh, which is an early source, is clearly indicating that when a person kills another person, that's not the will of God. This opinion of the Al-Sheikh is supported by the Rambam. Looking at the Rambam, he says, Avo Masha Nimsa Lechachobim Huma Amorim Hakobi De Shemayim Chutz Meir Shemayim Hu Gam Kein Emes V'Noter Tzad Masha Zecharnu Ava Shabei Pa'am Yitu B'nei Adam V'yachshvu K'tzas Pa'uros Adam Habos B'chiroso Shu Mukhra Chareyim. That people every so often will make decisions and then they'll blame God for it. Oh, I was forced into it. Right? As we'll perhaps discuss next. Kuzug Prodi. My wife, she's my bashert. It was willed before me. I had no choice in the matter. This was God's will that I marry this woman. Said, that's not true. God didn't stick you with your wife. You made the decision. Oh, Yosef Momon Biyado. I have this money. Must be God wills it. No. Is that Bilti Emes? You marry a woman in order to have children. You have children, that's a mitzvah. Mitzvah is your free will. God doesn't force you to do a mitzvah. And if I were that I married a woman I'm not allowed to marry, if a Cohen goes out and marries a divorced woman, you can say, if I married her, that proves it's my bashert. No, it could, it's not allowed. That couldn't have been your bashert. Don't blame God for this. He aver Hashem lo yigzor basiyus aver. God's not going to make you do a sin. V'chein zeh asher gozol momon poni o gondol mimenu o hike o sov v'chichesh bo v'nishpach o v'sheker. If I steal, if I swear falsely, whatever I do to get your money, if I have it, must be God wants me to have it. No. If never she Hashem is bar gozor al zeh she agi zeh momon liyodo k'shi yotzo miyodo zeh ha'acher. The bottom line is that all of this is your free will. If you decide to get married, if you decide not to get married, if you decide to marry this person, if you decide to marry that person, if you're gonna steal money, if you're gonna earn your money, this was all your decision. God did not tell you to do this. That's the Rambam's point. You can't turn around and say, you know, well, if it wasn't the will of God, it wouldn't have happened. No. Your free will outranks the will of God. Yes, Marsha. No. Anything... I am responsible for what I do, right? When I helped the old lady cross the street, that was my decision. When I kicked the cat, that was my decision also. Would never kick the dog. Yeah. Yes. So again, a drunken driver kills someone, you can make the argument that was the will of God. Because this person, it was his will to get drunk. But what happened afterwards, the guy that was not his free will. He was not in his right mind.
So the family being not a drunk driver, a driver. There's an accident, somebody dies.
Right, no, if somebody purposely goes and mows someone down. War, what is it good for? Say it again. Right? So the argument is that if a person shoots another person, it would sound from the opinion of the Rambam, that doesn't prove that the person was supposed to die. Any act that's done by a person's free will overrides the will of God. So we have here a real big machlokas. On the one hand, we see the Alshich, the Rambam, clearly saying that the will of God doesn't come into play when it comes to free will. My free will and my actions, I am responsible for. And if it helps or hurts somebody else, that's me. As opposed to the opinion of the Sefer Chinuch, the Sefer Chassidim, following the Psukim in Shmuel, say no, that in the event that I did not deserve this, God would have never let it happen. Killing's pretty soon, yeah.
Example of choice tonight, but without any, there's a reason on the board, basically. So on the one hand,
you
would say,
you
know, one thing you would say, you deserve the insult, and you were wrong, but she didn't be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, you deserve that insult.
So again, well, the Rambam just now, right? So if someone picks my pocket, that doesn't mean that my pocket was supposed to be picked. Right, doesn't mean that. Right? God never told us to send someone, I have a good idea, you can use a few bucks, why don't you go pick someone's pocket? No. That's exactly what the Rambam is saying, right? The Rambam is definitely dialed it down a little bit from the ever popular murder that we've been going with. Right, the Sefer HaChinuch is right. The Sefer HaChinuch says, you know, if I have a boo boo on my finger, because I deserve a boo boo on my finger. Right, and if I didn't deserve it, no boo boo, no boo boo, no band aid. It would be fine. So that is the opinion. So the Rambam disagrees. So this is a major philosophical disagreement. Now, it's interesting. In general, philosophical disagreements are great for discussions. You know, they're good for lectures. I can make a few bucks off of this, right? It's interesting that as we saw from the Maharsham, you can't squeeze out a halacha l'maisa difference here, right? The question by a katlanis is a practical ramification of this philosophical discussion. Oh, sorry about that. I'm really not good at this. This is not my calling. I'm sorry. I'm good. Listen, Shlomo. I tip my hand to my hat to you for a job well done. Handing it over to me. In the footnotes to the Rambam, in his Pirush, this is number 16, which I am up to. The Rambam goes through, the footnotes go through a long, long list of people who perhaps support these ideas. We'll do some of them inside. For example, let's start with the second paragraph. Mekubal b'shem hagon Rabbi Yisrael Salant Zatzal. B'farsh al pi yisod es ha-pasuk v'yomer David al gad sari ma'od Where's that pasuk from? Tachnun. We just said it not an hour ago. Right? What is this actually talking about? What happens is David HaMelech does a sin. He's given a choice between three potential punishments. He could have what's behind door number one, what's behind door number two, or what's in the box. Those are his three choices. David HaMelech says, I want to be punished by God. I don't want to be punished by man. Why? What? So God is merciful is one possibility. But he says, the resource answer actually comes to this. Said David HaMelech Omer, Ani ma'adif lispo yisurim, Ulam, b'yad Hashem ki rabim rachamav, Ani mevakesh, b'yad odom ala polar hayos, hu bal b'chira, b'yad laharo, gam shalom nigzer alai. Let's say God says that this person should torture me for what I did. And that person decides to kill me. Too bad, so sad. You're dead. That's it. Like there's nothing that you can do about it. Right, that's why he says, if God punishes me, I'll get what I deserve, not more than that. If I have to deal with another human being, I might get a lot worse. What opinion is that following? That's following the Rambam. Right? You see from there clearly that man has the ability to act in a way beyond the will of God. Here's who Baba Khir Biyad Lago Gamshul Nidza. Kahgun Rav Yeruchim Levavis. Zatzal. Das Chochma Musar says as far as Misapir Maisa Be'echesh Nisakish B'nefesh Admir Hasaba Mikel Mlasos Lora. Rama Admir Shemeodim Be'emes Sarach Lira. Said one time there was a guy who had it in from the altar from Kelm. The altar from Kelm said, Taka, you got to be worried because this guy really could hurt me. Because this guy has his Bechira Chafshis, and God can't really step in and do much about it. Same idea. Next paragraph. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that yes, correct. That's a good point. Fair question. I don't have a good answer. So he said, wait a second, by Shimi Ben Geri, he says Shimi Ben Geri can't do anything that God that says he can, right? And now David's saying, I don't want to mess the people because they can do things that God doesn't want. Famine. Right. Well, the truth of the matter is, again, if I wanted to argue on behalf of the Sefer HaChinuch, I would say God could step in there also. You know, God could say, okay, you know, that's it. I'm not letting you beat up on him anymore. Give another case. This is Rav Zundel Salant. I'm going to go to Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, B'shem Agro Mivilna, Shezeh Tosha, Mashem Morgo, Mithilm, Gamma Rambam, Isa, Kain Sarah Beer, Im Kavanosa Ridvar, Rafano, Shabal Bachir, Yachel Asas, Lodam Bilti, Gezerah Sabore. Say, can really a person do something against what God wants? Yash Hodover Nigzer al Adam Beeze Evan Yinogge, Avo Babal Bachir, Nigzer Eze Bal Bachir, Yasa Loga Tovo Muto. So Rav Zundel Salon said, no, I disagree. I think that when God says that so-and-so, that Ploni should be hurt by another man, he doesn't say which man should hurt. And therefore, if the person does it, they'll be punished. But without that, Gezeira can't happen. So he thinks the Rambam is not right. So we have here a long list of opinions both ways, where he says that in fact that it would seem. So let's just skip. I'll do one more. He says here, Re'erbe Bebir Halacha, second to bottom paragraph. I'm coming. Here I am. He said, Al Neishal Yo Bahara Carmel. She Kosev, She Efshir Janesa Yo Bahara Carmel, Haya Gam King Toelos Rahatzil El Yohu Min Hamisa. He said, if you remember, Achav and Izevel said, we're going to kill all the Nevi'im of Hashem. Then they had a battle, right, between the Nevi'e Abal and the Nevi and Eliyahu Navi. So, were it not for the miraculous fire that came down, Eliyahu would have lost and he would have been killed. So you see from there that God had to do something to save Eliyahu because God couldn't just tell Achav not to kill him. So there are a lot of cases that people point to one way or the other to say that, you know, yes, the Rambam is right, no, the Rambam is wrong. But this is a major discussion. Now, just to put it bluntly, right, Rosh Hashanah, I daven, and I get put in the Book of Life. Is that a guarantee that I'm going to be around next year for this? So according to the Sefer HaChinuch, yes. Because God will not let anything happen to me. As opposed to the opinion of the Rambam, no. God is saying that I'm not going to do anything to put you to death, but I can't guarantee you that there's no other Meshuggah out there who's going to put you away. So that is a major machlokas. Let's just finish up the sources. That's from God. Right? Virus. Anything that doesn't have Bechira is from God. Whether it's an animal, whether it's a virus, it's a bacteria, whatever it is, it's an accident, that's from God. The only thing that doesn't go goes God, goes back to the things we discussed in the beginning, is Bechira. Free will is so basic, so strong, that free will actually, over according to the Rambam, right, will actually, according to the Alshich, will actually override the will of God. Now, eventually, God has his ways of making it work out, right? Whether it'll involve a Gilgal, whatever it is, somehow you'll end up being the quarterback for the Rams and winning the Super Bowl if you're supposed to. Right? That's what it comes down to. So that is the opinion of the Rambam. The Netziv, interesting, discusses this issue about Yosef being thrown into the pit. Zed Reuven Omer Rahashach Yosef Babar Melo Nechoshim Vakrav Melo Yorish Yarguhu Shoyabatuach Al Zuchusa. So he quotes from the Zohar. The Zohar seems to be saying a lot what the Alshach said. That the reason Reuven was willing to throw him in with the snakes is because he thought Yosef was in the right. He didn't deserve to die. Rusha Yer Yorim Min Ha'achim Hain Meshim De Bechira Sheba Adam Hu Ramayla Mehashkocha Al Yona. So the Netziv is saying exactly like the Alshach, and he's quoting it from the Zohar. Right? That a person's free will is above the Hashkacha that comes from God. Daniel was not as scared of the lions. He would have been scared of the king. He would have been scared of his soldiers, but not the lions. Because the people have Bechira, they could have heard him. The lions don't have Bechira. He knows God's going to protect him. That's why he doesn't care. Alva Yari, the Lotishni, writes on Daniel. The Netziv, though, asked the question that should be bothering everybody. God really can't protect us? Is that the answer to Holocaust theology? Sorry, God can't fight with Hitler? People have suggested that. That's wholly not satisfying, if you ask me.
That's what we said. God can create a rock that he cannot move.
But why would he?
Why?
Yes. So, the Netziv says, Ela kach yishmano lomor, the lezer be'inin zechus yoser, v'haynu shehei tov gam bein adam l'chaveiro, v'yei tzadik v'tovo b'shvil shehu tzadik gamor. He said, if I'm a certain higher level, God will step in and protect me no matter what. If a person comes to shoot me, God will have me to have me tie my shoelaces at just the right moment. If a person's on a high enough level, God will step in and miraculously, he's not going to take away the other guy's free will to shoot at me. He's just going to make him miss. Because I, as a tzaddik gomor, as a perfect tzaddik, have the rights to be protected no matter what. And this is why Lavan was never able to hurt Yaakov, no matter how hard he tried, right? What do we say in the Haggadah? Right? That Bikesh Arami Avi, Bikesh Rakor Esakol. So if Lavan really wanted to kill Yaakov, so why didn't it work? Right? According to the opinion of the Rambam, he should have been able to do it. So the answer is that Tzadik Gomor, he gets special protection. It doesn't take a lot to have Kedushin. I'll menas that I'm a tzaddik gomor.
Yeah, and it turns out that he's a Russian gomor.
Yeah, but for that moment, maybe so we're choshes and perhaps they're married. I don't think I'd call this guy a tzaddik gomor yet.
Well, it says in case he
has a change of heart and decides.
Correct.
He hasn't done all the things that you need to become a tzaddik gomor yet.
Okay, get it. Perhaps he did perfect tshuva at that point. Yeah, we're choshish for kedushin. Well, yeah, the guy isn't the Bucky Bashas at this moment.
But he's suddenly a tzaddik gomor and she's married.
It's not that he's a tzaddik gomor. We're choshish that perhaps he would be, right? We're not going to let her go marry another guy.
Can you know that kedushin?
By finding out in hindsight that, in fact, he's a tzaddik, but not so gomer.
I don't understand. When a dog attracts a child, and
God's will.
That's God's will.
God's will.
And names them. That's God's will.
Yes. Why does God will that? Above my pay grade. I can't answer that. So this is the Netziv. The Netziv, in fact, says the Zohar supports the Rambam, but if somebody is really deserving, they still get protection. The Rambam famously, in Hilchos Deos, makes the following comment. He says, "Holo that yosa guf bari v'sholem midarkei Hashem hu." A person should be healthy. They should eat well. They should take care of themselves. If a person is sick, they can't possibly have the mental capacity to learn what they need to learn in this lifetime. Gotta be careful. You should eat good food, healthy food. Only eat when you're hungry. Don't eat too much. Don't drink too much. You have to go to the bathroom. You got to go, you go. You see from the Rambam is very much of the opinion that a person has control, right? It's not just a matter of Baal Bechira, but the Rambam seems to be going further here. The Rambam says, if I get sick, it's not God's will either. I get sick, that's also could be blamed on me.
If I take care of myself and I get sick,
then that's God's will. That's good. I'll take those odds. One last source, and that again seems to be supportive of the idea of the Rambam, and it also perhaps put things in context. It says in this week's Parsha, justice is in the hands of God. Omer Rav Chama bar Chanina, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo dayin l'risham shenotri mezeh mamon v'nosin l'zeh shelo kadin, elo shematrichen osi rahachsi mamon l'baruv. It's not so bad that ganovim are ganovim, but they're bothering me, because now I've got to make sure that they lose that money, and this guy gets his money back. So what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that if you take that guy's money, yeah, that wasn't the will of God. You're a sinner. That person didn't deserve to lose the money. That's exactly what the Rambam is saying. But in the long run, it'll all be taken care of. God will get the money back from him. He'll put it there. God say, you're going to be punished because you're wasting my time here, even though God's above time. But at the end of the day, right, so that seems to be the Rambam's point. Yes, there is justice in the world, right? However, in the short term, God will allow your free will to impinge on me, because that's what free will is, but ultimately things will work themselves out. So in short, this is a very basic philosophical disagreement. How strong is free will, right? Is free will so strong that it will override God's plans for a person? Or do we say no, that in fact everything that happens, it happens because that is the will of God? And in the event that somebody is hurt by another person, they ultimately did deserve it. That's absolutely true. However, they don't get out of being punished because God never willed that I should hurt the person, and therefore it could have just well been done by anybody else. Okay. That's it for this topic.